hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Luke chapter 1. In the days of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. He kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 years, 5 months, she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." 5 years, that would be a long pregnancy, wouldn't it? I have shown in both services today that I have no idea how human reproduction works. Anyway, okay, now, this is the story of the conception and the birth of John the Baptist, and I love John the Baptist. He is one of my favorite biblical characters. Luke is the only gospel author who goes into this kind of detail concerning these circumstances leading up to his birth. And in the text that we've just read, we see this angelic visitation and the promise of John's conception and birth given to Zechariah, his father. In the text that we will read just a little bit later on, we will see the angelic visitation and the promise of the immaculate conception of Jesus and his birth to his mother, Mary. In the next sermon in the series, in a fortnight's time, Jonty is going to help you to see the connection made between the two boys through the interaction of their mothers, Elizabeth and Mary, and also the fulfillment of the angel's promise to Zechariah in the birth of John. And then in the next sermon after that, I think it's Sarah, is going to show you the magnificent birth of Jesus, the fulfillment of the angel's promise to Mary. But here's a pattern to be seen in this text. The promise of John, the promise of Jesus, the link between the two boys, the birth of John and the birth of Jesus. Both John and Jesus have things in common. They were both promised to their parents via the angelic visitation of Gabriel. Both of their births were miraculous. Elizabeth, John's mother, was barren. Mary, Jesus' mother, was a virgin. Both names, John, which means God is gracious, and Jesus, which means Savior, both names were given to their parents by the angel. And so in these circumstances, we see God supernaturally and significantly, extraordinarily and sovereignly at work in the lives of both John and Jesus. And I think that God's reason for bringing John and Jesus into the world respectively through humanly impossible conceptions is to powerfully demonstrate that nothing is too hard for him. Nothing is impossible for him. And he is in control here, and he is beginning to do something unexpected, something astonishing is beginning to happen in the world. Now, what I thought we could do tonight is talk more about Zechariah and Mary. Both of these people were confronted with angels telling them that God was about to do impossible things in their life. And when you think about it, they're people like us. It's a pretty big deal to have an angel show up and say to them that God was going to do something of the scale that he was going to do in their life. And Zechariah's response to Gabriel was evidently one of unbelief. Verse 18, he says, "How shall I know this? Why should I believe you? I'm an old man, my wife is advanced in years. What you're saying is going to happen is actually impossible." And this less than faith-filled response from Zechariah seemed to agitate Gabriel. In fact, Gabriel struck Zechariah mute until such time as the prophesied arrival of John came to pass. And I think what we're supposed to do is contrast Zechariah's response to Gabriel's astounding pronouncement to Mary. So let's look at the promise of Jesus given to Mary, reading from verse 26 of Luke 1. We read, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of a greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." So Zechariah did not believe Gabriel's promise. Not immediately. He momentarily wavered in faith. Mary did not. She responded to God's promise given to her through Gabriel with amazing faith and with optimism. Now, how do we see the faith of Mary here? Well, let's just contrast their initial responses, which are very similar, but with just the slightest of differences. And I'm going to ask Rona if you can put them up in the ESV, because I want to show it to you here. Zechariah said in verse 18, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, my wife is advanced in years." So he's effectively, he's asking for more evidence that this is legit, like this is actually God. He wants more evidence. And to me, I think Gabriel's dramatic appearance to him should have been enough, right? And Zechariah was a bit like the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew 12, verse 38. In Matthew 12, verse 38, we read, "Some of the scribes and the Pharisees answered him, saying, 'Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you.' But he answered, saying, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah,'" speaking there of his death and resurrection. Mary, on the other hand, and we read this in the ESV, it brings it out really well, in verse 34, her response is, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" How will this be, right? It will be, but how? How will it be? Zechariah asked for a sign. Mary asked for understanding. Now, Mary's response here reminds me of another story. You can come with me to Mark 9. And in Mark 9, we read about a desperate father seeking healing for his son. So let's just go to Mark 9, and we're going to read from verse 14. We'll start a little bit back in the story just to get a feel for the context. Verse 14. "When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them, and immediately all of the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up and greeted him. And he asked them, 'What are you arguing about with them?' And someone from the crowd answered him, 'Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he is a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able.' And he answered them, 'O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me.' And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' And Jesus said to him, 'If you can, all things are possible for the one who believes.' And immediately the father of the child cried out and said this," and I love this line, "'I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief.'" To me, that's like what Mary was saying. I don't understand how this will be, but if you're saying that it will be, then it will be. So help me to understand. Help me in my unbelief. Now, obviously, from this, we learn that it's okay to seek explanations and to seek understanding from God when we are perplexed by him, as Mary was. Faith does not forbid that. So it's okay to seek understanding. Mary saw the human impossibility of what Gabriel was saying to her as clearly as Zechariah did, right? She wasn't like me. She knew how reproduction worked. She knew that her virginity was an obstacle to the conception of a son. She knew that what the angel was saying was an impossibility. But her heart did not dismiss these promises in unbelief. Instead, she responded with humility and she requested only to know how such a miracle would take place. Now, we will never understand everything about God in this age. As Paul says in Corinthians, we see through a mirror dimly. We know in part. But there is a lot that we can understand, and it's good for us, like Mary, to have faith, but to seek to understand what we can about God and about his ways. So, be like Mary and not like Zechariah. Now, one more thing as we close now and as Rachel comes. Zechariah was disciplined for his unbelief. He was disciplined. He was made to be mute until such time as the promise was fulfilled. But he wasn't dismissed. He wasn't written off. Just like Peter, who denied Christ 3 times. His sin is recorded as a temporary lapse of faith rather than a permanent, disqualifying black mark against his name. His momentary faltering of faith, failure of faith, didn't define him. What defined him, what we remember Zechariah for, is that he inherited the promise. God's promise to him still stood on account of God's faithfulness. God performs according to his word and not according to our faltering faith. And so we read, and this is a bit of a spoiler alert, but from verse 57, this is into your territory, isn't it, Jonty? But just so you know how the story ends, or begins. Verse 57, now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the 8th day, they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, no, he shall be called John. And they said to her, none of your relatives are called by that name. And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, his name is John. And they all wondered, and immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. Ah, that's beautiful, isn't it? None of us obey God perfectly all the time. All of us have moments of failure, weakness, lapses of faith in our life. Every once in a while we stumble into sin. We need to seek God and repent. I think the good news that we learn from the story of Zechariah is that God does not treat us as these momentary lapses deserve. He does not cast us away on account of a moment where we are less than faith-filled, where we are more like Zechariah than Mary. And if we repent and if we set our hope afresh on Him, we will live to bless Him for His promises and for His faithfulness to us. And the other thing to say about this passage of Scripture is that nothing is impossible for our God. Nothing's impossible. So let's trust Him continually to do the humanly impossible for us.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.